Hello, all of you out there in Radio Land. This is KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. And for our virtual listeners, we hope you stay glued to kptz.org. Our website is more than just a way to listen to today's offerings. For example, you can find the biographies of all our hosts and DJs. You can look up calendar listings to see what's happening around town, and you can sample some of our earlier shows. In fact, much of the original programming on KPTZ is currently available as a podcast. You know, double your listening pleasure. Listen to today's show as well as some earlier ones. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who are all those people eating lunch at the hospital cafeteria? I mean, I know that Chef Aaron Stark is a great cook, but have we really reached the point where people are sneaking into the cafeteria even if they have no medical business? And who are those kids smoking on the dock downtown? And what about that frazzled crew on the ferry? Bet they will be glad that the summer rush is about over. This show, Our Town, profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work in Jefferson County. We talk with the people who make up the eclectic mix around these parts. We talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca, right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick, and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otters, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. Today, my guest is Teresa Hoffman, the owner of the Port Townsend Athletic Club, which is tucked in an eccentric old building just across from Memorial Field in downtown Port Townsend. So welcome to the show, Teresa.
Thank you.
So let's start at the beginning. Are you a local girl born and bred in Port Townsend?
No, not born and bred. I was actually born in Tallahassee, Florida, about as far as you can get and stay within the country from Washington.
And did you spend all of your youth in Tallahassee? Or did you move around a bit?
Nope. We did a lot of moving around when I was younger and my father was alive and got to live in a lot of really fascinating places. But then we ended up in Montana primarily, where my mother went back to school and continued raising us. But she always missed being in Hawaii. So as soon as she had the opportunity to move us back to Hawaii, we went back to the Big Island. And that's where I lived up until moving to Washington State as a junior in high school.
So you started high school in Hawaii, and then you transitioned to Washington. Well, that must have been a real change.
It was a big change. I came from, at that point, what was a brand new big fancy high school in Hilo, Waiakea, all the way to Quilcene.
Which wasn't exactly big and huge.
No, it wasn't. No, it was a big shift for me.
Well, were the kids, Hawaii has much more diverse racial mixture.
Yes, it does. In fact, with my growing up in Montana and Hawaii, I was always a minority where I went to school, being on the Indian reservation, and then with that whole melting pot on the islands of Hawaiian and Japanese and Filipino and Portuguese. So it was pretty challenging.
Right, I would think so. So you were more or less a minority group when you were first in high school.
Very much so, all through my school years.
High school can be pretty formative, and some people, let's say they get involved in music in high school and that's what they stick with. Other people, it doesn't stick that much. Were you in any particular group?
I was involved in hula dancing, and that was a pretty big deal over there. I even got to compete in the Merry Monarch Festival, which is a very big deal for all of the hula studios on the islands. I really liked riding horses. I had no real clue as to what I wanted to do at that point.
So when you moved here at Quilcene, did you graduate from Quilcene? There's a rumor around town that you didn't graduate high school until 2006.
Yep. So it's pretty funny. We moved here and I enrolled. I went there basically one semester and then transferred down to Evergreen State College and did, I guess, what would be called a running start program now. Moved down to the dorms there. So I finished high school at Evergreen, finished my credits there. But never had any of the official paperwork done and kind of forgot about all of that. Mm-hmm. So I did not walk with my class. Then years and years later, in fact, it was in 2005, I was digging through a closet and came across my diploma book, opened it up, and there was nothing in it. And so I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I never got that piece of paper and I want that. So I called up the Quilcene School and ended up speaking with a counselor, and she said, well, we're going to have to do some digging. Mm-hmm. And so I had to get him a copy of my transcripts from the college. And she said, I'll get back to you. And quite a bit of time went by and I was starting to wonder if I needed to check in again. I finally got a call and she says, well, I have good news and I have bad news. Which would you like first? And I said, well, how about the bad news? And she says, we weren't really sure what your graduation requirements then, and we're trying to locate, you know, who was the principal at that time and just figure out the details. And then she says, but the good news is we got it all sorted out and we're going to get you your diploma. So I said, great. She says, do you mind waiting until in the spring when we're doing the other ones as well? And I said, I've waited this many years. Yeah, it doesn't matter at this point. No big deal. And it came up to June and I got a call from her again saying, congratulations, you can come pick up your diploma. So I put my two kids in the car on my way to go down to Silverdale and run errands one day and decided to drive down there and pick up this piece of paper. It was after school had closed for the year. And I went in and found the office and there were several people in there. And when I came in the door and said who I was, they all started, oh, congratulations, and making this big deal out of it. Just the staff that was there. And they had this gift bag for me full of goodies and all this stuff. And I'm just like, what is the deal? I mean, I don't get this. And then this fellow there introduces himself and says he's the janitor, kind of jokingly, and shakes my hand and then wanted to go outside and take a picture. So we went outside, and I'm there with my goodie, holding my diploma, shaking this person's hand. Unbeknownst to me, he was the superintendent of the schools out there. And I'm just like, I just want to get my paper and get on with my errand. And so I went along my way. It must have been maybe 2 weeks later or so, I got a phone call again, this time from a reporter from the Leader, saying that they heard that I just graduated from high school. And I was like, mortified, absolutely mortified. I'm like, this little piece of personal business that I went to take care of is now, I mean, I said, you can't be serious. This is not newsworthy. I mean, it's not like I waited to get my GED until I was in my 40s. I just didn't get the paper. It's like, no, people are going to want to know these things. They like to know these things. And it was just very persistent. And what had happened is that counselor had sent the picture that was taken of me shaking that superintendent's hand to the newspaper. And then, of course, later she apologized. I ended up talking to the reporter and then thinking that would be, you know, blow over. And when that issue came out, it was not the front page, but the very next section, this huge picture of me standing in there, basically in my tank top wife beater shirt, shaking the superintendent's hand, receiving my diploma. So after that, I did not hear the end of it for the longest time from everywhere I went, just people making fun and, you know, congratulations. So I officially graduated in 2006 instead of 1982. So I suppose if I could maybe lie about my age if I wanted to, saying, exactly, you know, I didn't graduate high school until 2006.
Which would be technically true. But meanwhile, back at the ranch. So you went to Evergreen for a while. Mm-hmm. And what were your first real jobs?
My first real job after Evergreen, I moved down to Los Angeles with a couple of friends who were into doing production stuff for video and whatnot. And I didn't know anything about that industry, but I did end up working for a Summerhouse Films, it was called, and they made commercials for airlines and dog food and different things like that. Mm-hmm. And then also worked behind the scenes on a game show called Sale of the Century. Ooh. And so I got kind of an inside peek of
Hollywood.
And I was down there for almost 2 years, but it was really not my scene.
So you didn't get bitten by the bug where you wanted to be in front of the camera or anything?
It was just too intimidating and too cutthroat. It really, I just didn't really fit in being a country girl.
Okay.
But I did have another interesting job while I was down there.
Yes. Yes.
I worked as a cocktail waitress at a mud and oil wrestling outfit. And that was pretty racy and entertaining.
Sounds like it.
And actually quite safe, because as a waitress there, the guys working there were always very protective, but wasn't one of the performers.
Yeah.
It was an interesting, exciting place to work, let me tell you. Lots of bachelor parties and things of that sort.
Yeah, I would imagine it got pretty wild at times. You obviously decided L.A. wasn't for you. Was there anything that triggered you to move, or did you just reach a point where you had enough?
I reached a point where I had enough, and I'd get up in the mornings and go for a run, and I couldn't even see two stoplights down the road because of the smog and just the people. It just didn't feel right. So I packed up my little Volkswagen Bug and moved back up here to Washington State. and came out here to Port Townsend to visit my mom.
Your mom was living here.
She had moved from Brennan to Port Townsend. Mm-hmm. I connected with a friend from college whose mother worked in the Columbia Tower building in Seattle, and that was when that building was fairly new. And she had let me know that they were going to be opening a private dinner club on the top two floors, the Columbia Tower Club, and that they were hiring. I was on my way to Seattle to an interview for that. It was in the winter when I drove back, got to Seattle one night. It was snowing, and I'd never been to Seattle before, never driven. So I get off the ferry, and the first thing I do is drive off and start going up the hill, up the road, in a panic, realize that all the headlights are coming towards me.
Oops.
And I'm going the wrong way, up a one-way, in the snow, in a Volkswagen, and freaking out because I don't know where I am, and immediately take the first right I can onto, I think it was 2nd Avenue. And and just pull over and, you know, catch my breath, get my bearings. And I'm like,
lucky
what am
that
I doing?
Very lucky you didn't get nicked there.
Yep, that's for sure. Wow. I was sliding backwards at one point in my little car, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, what have I done? But I pulled it together and managed to find my friend's home, which was clear over by the University of Washington. So that was pretty exciting. I worked at the Columbia Tower Club, and that was a real fascinating place to be. A lot of dignitaries, who's who in the business world and politics would come there, and you know, I'd be waiting on Bill Gates and the president of the University of Washington and folks like that. So it was kind of a neat place to work.
Yeah. Wow. And how long did you stay there roughly?
I worked there for a couple of years, and once again, I got a little fed up with city life. I had a situation one evening after work where I got mugged and got beat up pretty bad, and I was so furious about that. I'm like, I'm not the victim type. How does this happen? You know.
So it wasn't that the guy just took your purse or something. He physically beat you.
I got a pretty good pounding out of it.
Wow.
He had a knife. I was just like, I have had enough of this. I don't want to live over here anymore. I want to go back to the small town life because that's what I enjoy. And it was a difficult transition coming back to Port Townsend because I made really good money in the city.
Right.
Had a lot of fun, but worked most of the time. It was crazy hours. And I was just burning out. I felt like I was spinning my wheels, wasn't really going anywhere. Coming back here to Port Townsend just really felt, this is home to me, and I've lived here longer than anywhere else at this point. It just felt so much better, even though I had to work 4 different jobs to, you know, barely keep it together.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask, because many people then and now find it hard to support themselves in Port Townsend.
Yep.
So what were the types of jobs you were doing to hold it together?
There was a cafe called the Salal Cafe, which was the place to eat, and it had a wonderful food, and it was kind of a co-op in the sense that everybody that worked there was an owner. A cousin of mine worked there, and so she got me a job there. Mm-hmm. And I worked at the Salal as a breakfast cook. I also worked at the Town Tavern. That was another happening place back in the day.
Yeah, everyone talks about it.
Mm-hmm. Worked there bartending, worked landscaping, just doing anything and everything that I could to make ends meet.
Wow. You're listening to KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. The show's Our Town. I'm Marianne McNellis, the host. The show profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work on the Olympic Peninsula. Today, my guest is Teresa Hoffman, the owner of the Port Townsend Athletic Club. Teresa has just been telling me about her youth, where she worked in L.A. and Hollywood doing production, a game show, and then she worked in Seattle at a swank club, but she decided she liked the country life better. Her mother was living up here in Port Townsend, so she returned to Port Townsend, and when she first was here, like a lot of you listening, she had to work 3 or 4 different jobs at a time just to make ends meet. One of the part-time things that she started doing was fitness, so let's talk a little bit about how you got going in that field.
I was involved in a dance company with a friend. I met this friend through the dance. She told me she was going to open a fitness club and wanted me to be one of her instructors. I pretty much just laughed it off. No way, that's not me. I can't do that. And she says, no, I'm serious. I'm going to train you how I want you to do these classes. And she was very persistent, convinced me to do the training with her. So long story short, I ended up becoming one of her instructors. That was the beginning of Fountains Fitness, which which is now Evergreen Fitness. I worked for her as an instructor, and it was very stressful at first learning how to do that job. I don't think people realize how challenging and demanding it is to get up in front of a group, and in those days we didn't have programming already done that you could utilize like there is available today to folks. I started teaching a lot of different types of classes. Ended up finding out that I actually really enjoyed that, and it was really satisfying to help people in that way and to make it fun. And so I wanted to become a trainer, which I went through all that study and got certified through ACE. And then I started working with clients privately because that's when I had my second son and I had a lot going on. So I didn't work at the club so much, but I did have private clients. I kept doing that. So once again, multiple jobs. And through that, I ended up getting involved with a local organization and working with the people in that program. That put me at the Port Townsend Athletic Club, which at that time was owned by Henry and Nina Noble. I found that working with the clients down there exposed me to the members. I'd get more people asking for training, and one thing led to another.
Well, now, wait a minute. You've lost me a little bit here. You weren't actually part of the Port Townsend Athletic Club at that stage, right?
No.
You were just using some of their space.
I was an independent trainer. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Independent
okay.
Trainer. So I ended up working out of the club, and then a back portion of the building became available for lease. I turned that into a training studio, and that was in 2006. Right as I'm investing all of this into, you know, rehabbing and making that a nice studio, which was within the same building and convenient for me to work with members. During that year, Henry passed away, unfortunately, and Nina had decided that she wanted to sell the business. I had told her that if she ever did, to let me know, and we went into a long process of...
Yeah, well, unless you won the lottery, you probably had to scramble to get money to do it.
I was in a panic because I just put all of this time and what resources I had into fixing up the studio in the back, and then now here's this opportunity. But I wasn't in a position, you know, at that point to really do anything. I had some very, very good people, two people in particular, angels I'll call them, who knew me and believed in me, I think more than I even did it myself at that time, step forward and offer to help me with getting started with purchase of that business.
So then, they actually lent you the money?
Yes, they did.
And was this through any group or just individuals?
They were individuals.
Wow, that's great.
It was a tremendous thing. Yep.
Yeah.
When I had the first offer for that, was to get the business, but I knew that I didn't want to just take it over. I needed to be able to make some changes there. I had a lot of vision for what the place could be, and my second angel was the one that really helped that happen. That was in the fall 2007. As soon as we made the deal, I closed the club down, which infuriated a ton of members. I mean, I had to, because I had to get all that old equipment out, make the changes I was going to do, put new equipment in. We had 10 days, and everything was just down to the wire to get all the equipment out.
Wow.
Literally get walls out, build stuff, redo floor, repair, and then get everything prepped so then the date that it was due, the equipment could be put into place. So it was like a 10-day closure. I don't think I slept for 10 days.
Wow.
And I had a lot of help show up. Brother and a contractor friend basically loaned me two of his guys to put to work to help, which saved my butt. But we got it all wrapped up, and then we reopened just before Christmas. It was amazing. We put up lights and everything, and we opened the doors and let the members back in, the ones that weren't so mad at me that they didn't come back.
Yeah.
And their jaws were dropping. It was amazing. It was so, so wonderful. I took that little business, which had not even 100 members, and within the first year, we got up to 350.
Wow.
I mean, it really made a huge difference. And so I knew I was on the right track.
Right. Roughly how many members do you now have?
I'm going to say we're about 750.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, when people think of gyms or fitness centers, they do think about the machines, and you certainly have those, and I understand really up-to-date ones, but you also offer a really staggering number of classes down there. Can you talk about some of the classes?
I had this vision that I wanted to offer as much variety for all the different layers of Port Townsend, if you will, stuff where we've got weightlifting classes, we have yoga classes, dance classes. There's a lot of different flavors out there, and really what I wanted to do is try to create as much variety so that we've got stuff for seniors, for young people. When I first took over that club, most of the membership was seniors, and I'd say a lot more men than women. And now we've got a really good mix of all ages. and a lot of ladies using the club.
But you do offer some classes that are designed for seniors and some for people with, let's say, limited physical ability, some things that aren't as intimidating.
We have a wonderful chair fitness class that Terry Wagner teaches for us. We have a challenging building, and it was an old brewery. It wasn't meant to be a club. It's not handicapped accessible. But we have folks that make their way in that door with their walkers and whatnot and come to that class, and she does such a wonderful job with them. And then simultaneously upstairs, I teach a class called Mobility Plus, which is a pretty popular class. And I have quite a following of wonderful people that have been coming to see me for years, and new people as well. I help a lot with just mobility and just making sure people stay mobile and able, you know, for fall prevention. And we try to have a lot of fun, which they do.
So is the club open 24/7, or is it early to late, or what's the basic thing?
We're open 5:30 a.m. till 9 all the weekdays, and then 8 to 6 on Saturdays and 8 to 4 on Sundays. I would love to offer 24 hours, but that's a pretty challenging thing to do.
I would think so.
Staffing and whatnot. But I do have people who wish that I would be open more, people that maybe work at the mill or have certain jobs that just doesn't allow them to come in except for at odd hours. But maybe one day we'll get there, but we're not
yet. Now. So many of your employees, of course, would be part-time employees because they're teaching just a couple of classes. But how many employees do you have at the moment?
We have about 28 folks working out of there between instructors, janitorial, and front desk.
Are any of the jobs full-time?
The front desk, I have Jim Larson, who's just absolutely amazing and been with me since the beginning of this whole journey, is pretty much my one full-time employee. Mm-hmm. And then we have other front desk staff that, you know, they get 30 to 40 hours. It depends on how they overlap. Mostly the front desk. Now, the instructors, they have other things that they do, or they instruct at other locations, and that's kind of more a specialty thing. And, you know, I have a couple of instructors that teach a lot of classes for me per week, and then some that just do one or two.
When you took over the business, you actually didn't have any experience in running a business.
Nope.
Was it tough?
Yes, it was. Huge learning curve. Very challenging, very stressful, but I've been self-employed for a long time. I think that really helped, having been responsible for my own livelihood and my family. That taught me a lot. But then just kind of doing things instinctively, and also just researching and going in and asking questions.
Did you find the paperwork or the billing or any of that difficult?
Oh, yes. Wow. I was getting buried real quick in the beginning. It was very overwhelming. And then thankfully, I got a most amazing accountant. And that was the
That's a key thing.
She has been just tremendous in helping keep all of that together. In fact, I consider her the tower. It takes a team of people. At this point, I far outgrew my abilities. I always knew that I could count on what I could handle that was in front of me always, but the business quickly grew to where it was just way too much. And without the team that I have, it would not be the place that it is. So I'm very thankful and very grateful for having wonderful people working down there with me. They take really good care of the members. We have a good reputation down there for just really accommodating people and helping them feel comfortable. And
is there a predictable ebb and flow? Like, is it always busy at noon and not so busy at 3 p.m. or anything like that?
It's pretty busy mid-morning. There is an ebb and flow for sure, and usually early afternoon is a quieter time. But then there'll be some days where it's like, did everybody just wake up and decide they were all going to come at the same time today? Yeah. It's kind of funny. And then other days I'll be in there working with a client and we'll be the only two in there for a good 45 minutes. We have members that'll come there literally every day, and they really are dedicated. And then others that
show
it's
up
a struggle.
Now and then.
You know, everybody struggles with being motivated and showing up and getting the job done for sure.
Yeah, I would think so. Looking ahead, obviously you're continuing to run the business. Mm-hmm. Do you have any specific plans you can talk about, or is it just?
I'd love to expand my facility and to be able to accommodate better and more. It is an older building, and it's not really laid out in the most efficient way. So I have great ideas, but then it takes the funding to be able to do that. And so we'll get there maybe at some point.
Yeah, you mentioned it was a brewery in the past, which I would imagine has certain challenges.
Yep, the building is quite a history, that site. We are on the historic registry. I've heard that that was the site of the original county jail, although there's no portion portion of that building left, but it was built as a brewery just before the turn of the century as the Port Townsend Brewing Company until Prohibition, you know,
yes.
kind of made it difficult to make a living. It was reopened as the Peninsula Brewing Company in the 50s. It was primarily used as a warehouse for supplying the different mom and pop shops around the peninsula.
So when did it become an athletic club?
That happened in the early 80s. In fact, one of the founders is still a member and plays racquetball regularly. The Lundgren family and the Bueller family started that business together. Racquetball, I guess, was the thing. And so our upper studio was the first court. And they basically did the same thing I did. They did pre-sales to friends. They had friends come in to help them do some of the construction and to prepay dues to start this, you know, idea of a club. Basically, that's how it got rolling. But it's a challenging business to run. It's a real tight margin. So I think there was some differences of opinion. And John Bueller ended up buying his partner out and ran the business, he and his wife Jill. So he owned the building. But there were other businesses in that building as well. It wasn't all athletic club. They decided to build an additional racquetball court that was full size, and they also made the Victorian suite, which was a little rental. That used to be a little apartment. Didn't work out so good with the racquetball hitting the wall early in the morning,
yeah,
so there was some conflict with when you could do certain activities in the gym based on whether there were guests or not.
Challenging. Well, it's a thriving business now, and you're really be congratulated for bringing the athletic club as far as you have. Now, I know you're incredibly busy there, but you must have a little time off to do other things. So what are some of your other pursuits?
Because of having a great crew, I've been able to step back a lot on how much I teach and I'm down there. My other passion is horses. I have started a new business, boarding horses and getting into training and breeding. I'm pursuing my lifelong dream of working with the horses, and my youngest daughter is very much into riding. So that's our other job between the two places. It's enjoyable. It doesn't feel like work to me.
Wow.
I've always liked that saying that when you do what you love, you'll never work another day. And so I feel like that. I'm very blessed to have had a career in doing something that, even though it was work, it didn't feel like work. And I really have a lot of passion for what I do, and I've been blessed that way.
That's great. So your youngest daughter is helping with the horses. How many kids do you have?
I have 5 kids. Yeah.
Well, that's great.
That's great.
I hate to tell you this, but we're out of time here. I want to thank you for being on the show, Teresa. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Mary Ann McNellis. My guest today has been Teresa Hoffman, the owner of the Port Townsend Athletic Club in downtown Port Townsend. Teresa has owned the club for a decade now and has turned it into a bustling business that caters to everyone from hard body fanatics to those who need more gentle exercises as they fight their way back from either an injury or medical event. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show, Teresa. As a female entrepreneur, you're certainly an inspiration. I also want to thank the man in the glass booth, John McPherson. You can't see him or even hear him, but he's the engineer for Our Town. He's the one who makes me and my guests sound so professional and even occasionally intelligent. I also want to thank our program director, Larry Stein, and our chairman, Robert Ambrose. Meanwhile, keep your radio tuned to KPTZ 91.9 FM, or keep your computer logged on to kptz.org for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Mary Ann McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.